Welcome to Funny Business. I'm Rob. This is Locke. And today's episode,
we You said this is Locke. I'm Locke. They can't see me.
They wish they could, though. I'm looking good.
I feel like they're
sort we're of in the dark tonight. That's why I look good. Like,
by candlelight, we're recording this
smells
intro.
Like Musk.
It does, doesn't it?
This episode, we have Bridget Gale, co-founder of Hello Darling, Unreal Chat, open, honest, mum doing cool things, previous experience and as a young 21-year-old starting Amore and Savette, swimwear label that took over everywhere.
The world.
She's out there making shit happen, and I really enjoyed meeting her today.
Hello, darling. I like the business too. Friends can swipe for their friends, so it's like it keeps it super surprising. It means that we can sign up and we can start swiping for our single friends. And now I'm thinking, do we have many single friends?
I've got to find some. We've got to make new friends. Maybe we
can start going to the clubs. Start going to the clubs. No, we'll just jump on this app because Bridget's doing some cool things. I feel like she gets really honest here, and it's these are one of the chats that this is why we do the podcast. It's for you listeners because there's so much gold.
Bridget, thank you so much for jumping on the Funny Business podcast. For those at home listening, tell us, who are you? What do you do?
I'm Bridget Gale, and I'm a mum of two kids and a former swimwear designer of 14 years. And now I have relocated from Perth to Sydney to start a dating app called Hello Darling. And I'm also a co-host on a woman's mother podcast called The First Word.
I feel like
we're doing lots going on.
We're doing our prep for this chat, and I feel like plenty of stuff to get into this, but we'd love to just rewind back a little bit. And
I want to know the transition from WA over to the East Coast. I mean, they're two different sort of lifestyles. Hey, like you're mentioning, like you're not as close to the beach, but I'm sure there's big differences making the leap from one state to another.
Yeah, it was a very quick transition. Like I made the decision within 2 months to pack up my house in Perth, pull my kids out of school and move all our furniture over to Sydney without even seeing the house we're moving into and just move into state within like a 2 month period. So it was a very quick turnaround. So, but I'm loving Sydney. I'm loving it.
I love like quick decisions too. I think sometimes you can think about things too much and it's just like, oh, I wish I'd done that like 3 years ago, or I wish I'd done that. It's like, I feel like high risk, high reward. Hey, like when you're just like, yeah let's just do it.
Yeah, I've kind of always been like that. I've always kind of been like, once I've got an idea and I've just like gone with it without thinking about it too much or like doubting myself too much. I think that's probably one of my strengths, like in business and personal life. So, yeah, hopefully it's for the best, but we'll see.
Well, Amore and Savette, we got the pronunciation right.
How would you rate that out of 10? How we pronounce that?
That was a 10 out of 10.
Oh, yeah, I like that. You need the confidence. You know?
Every now and again, you need the confidence. But in doing our research for this chat, you were, 21 when you kicked that off? Going back. I feel like if you rewind back a little bit now and were you, is it pretty cool to see where it went to versus like what was the original hope when you kicked it off of what it could be?
Yeah, I was 21. I decided to move to Bali to start a swimwear label because my manufacturer was up there. So I moved up there. I was pretty disciplined for like a 21-year-old, I would say. Like I would, you know, people were coming in and out of Bali to party and, you know, let's do this and let's do that. And I was like, no, it's like a school night for me. Like at 21, I was pretty disciplined and focused. And so I was there for 3.5 years, opened 2 swimwear stores up in Bali. And then I moved back to Perth and opened a boutique in Perth after 3.5 years. So, I think when I made the decision to start a swimwear label, I wasn't at school. I was like, I didn't do my TE. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I wasn't very academic, but I was creative. I loved art. And I had no idea what I was going to do. Like after school, all my friends went to uni and I just kind of got a full-time job, but not knowing what I wanted to do. But I was always, I had a really good work ethic from like a young age. At 14, I got a job just so that I could support my bikini habit because I was buying so many bikinis. And then I had such a huge collection when I was 21 and I just knew everything about it. But I knew what it was missing as well. So I thought, I'm just going to jump ahead and move up to Bali and to just do this. I didn't really have any fear or any doubts. And then it took off pretty quickly because 15 years ago, there was not many boutique swimwear brands on the market. There was like, Seafolly and Billabong and Rusty or Zimmermann, which is quite an expensive brand, but there was no smaller boutique brands like on the market. So in terms of when I decided to start a swimwear label compared to what it would be like now, I think it was like the right time, and I was lucky in that sense.
Were people in your family, have they run businesses? Did you come from, were they like shocked that you moved to a Bali and said, I'm going to go do this? Can you get like, do you remember what they were thinking at the time?
My dad's a really great entrepreneur, so he was always encouraging us to do whatever we wanted. Like he said never give up. That was one thing he'd always tell us, is just never give up, do what you want to do. You can do whatever you wanted to do. Like if you want to be a garbage collector and be happy at it, go do that. If you want to be in acting, if you want to do this, it was never any doubt. He never put any doubt in my mind. So I always kind of grew up with no doubt or no fear. So I'd seen dad with his businesses, and I knew from quite a young age that I didn't want to work for anybody else as well. Like I always wanted to, I knew that I had great work ethic. I knew that I wasn't academic. I actually repeated in year three, which my brother still makes fun of me for. But I think that there's different, like if you've got a good work ethic behind you and you can learn, like teach yourself and new skills and like put your head down, I think that you can do anything.
I've realized that. Like, I wouldn't call myself a really hard worker. And then I feel like finding something that
Hey,
I'm
I
passionate
would,
about.
Bridget, I wouldn't call him that either. So
I was going to say, I've turned it around. It's a transformation
you
story.
shit, sorry.
Yeah. Ever since finding something I'm passionate about, it's like, I feel like there's no real shortcuts. It's like, you got to put in the work and like sacrifice. And it's just like with this like blind faith around like something's happening here because I can just feel it. Like, it's just like, building stuff is hard, and sometimes you just got to go in and not really think too much and just sort of get some actions going, because I feel like that's when you start seeing some good results and it like gives you the confidence to keep going.
Yeah, I think if you're a doer and you have a passion for something, then that's when you kind of know that the two go together and you've got a chance of succeeding. Because I think it's businesses that give up that end up dropping out, that end up failing, not the ones that keep going and keep going and keep going. So yeah, you're right with that for sure.
What were the moments that you saw that were like the traction pieces or the things for you to keep going in the early days?
When I moved back to Perth, there was no like, so Facebook had launched, there was no Instagram. So we were purely, we had our own retail stores. And then an agent from the US, like a wholesale agent, got in contact with me and said that they wanted to rep us over in the US. So we started getting into some of the bigger online stores over in the US, like Shopbop, Revolve, Urban Outfitters, Anthropologie, Free People, and we started going to Miami Swim Show. So I hit the US market and everything was kind of going quite well for me, I would say. And then a Jessie James Decker, who is a country music singer, got in contact with me. She'd seen, sorry, I live near the airport, so you can probably hear the plane right now. But yeah, she got in contact and wanted to do a collaboration. And at that point, there was no collaborations had been going on because social media like was very new. And I had no idea like the power that influencers could have as well. So we decided to do a collaboration together. I went over to Nashville, designed the collection with her, manufactured it, and then we launched it. And it was probably 2 a.m. Perth time when we launched. And I remember being online, like not knowing how this was going to go down. And I could see 350,000 people went to my site within a couple of minutes. And I was just going, oh my God. It's just and it just sold out like straight away. And at that point, I was just working from home. So I think I woke up with about 500 orders the next morning when I went to sleep. And I was just packing them in my kitchen. I had no one working for me. So that's where I discovered the power of social media, the power of influencers, the power of the US market. And throughout Maurice Vett's career, it was probably 70% of our customers were from the US. So I then went on to do a collaboration with Emirata and flew over to, again, like I had no fear. I was thinking, who's going to be my next it girl now that I've seen like the sales with Jesse James Decker. And I was like, Emirata, like, you know, she's the bikini girl of the US. She hasn't launched a brand yet. So again, like no fear in me. I just contacted her agent and was like, does Emily want to do a collaboration? So they arranged a call for me to jump on a call with Emily, and we had a chat about it. And then 30 days later, I was on a plane in flying to LA and doing a photo shoot with her. So yeah, that all kind of happened within the first, I guess, 7 or 8 years.
That's crazy. Like, I feel like it's like collabs before collabs were a thing. I feel like now when you look at how brands do things and what they do, it feels like it's like a mix now. It's like brands sort of live on their own, but they try to like leverage off other people in the sense now. It's like, because it's everywhere. I feel like, what was the initial response doing those sort of collabs and being like an early pioneer of like defining how brands interact like that?
I think it was great. Like, it definitely had its pros and cons, because I saw the power and of influencers. But then also, you know, I would see like a rise in sale, but then when I wasn't doing a collaboration, my sales would drop. So it was about trying to keep the curve, you know, up there and keep going. So that was like definitely a challenge, because if I wasn't having a collaboration, it was like, okay, well, you know, you've just collaborated with a country music singer and Emirata, like where from here? Like, how can I keep my sales up there? So it was like about capturing their audience and my social media, keeping them engaged in doing, you know, EDMs and continuing to do maybe like smaller clubs. But that was definitely a challenge once I had kind of gone up there. It was like, how can I keep these sales going?
What about now with what you're seeing with like TikTok and social media and Instagram and all those different platforms? Are you someone who keeps up to date with everything, who's trying to figure out how people are doing it? Like, now that you know how it's all done, are you constantly looking at brands and saying, oh, I like what they've done here, or if they had done that, that could have been better, or all that sort of stuff?
I feel like TikTok is just like a whole new ball game. It's like something that I didn't have with Amoran Sabet, and now I'm kind of playing catch up. And at the start, I felt like a bit of a dinosaur because of the younger generation that are on there, and I was just like, wow. But also, I feel like it does open up so many opportunities, and that the way they're doing things is very different in marketing to the way that I used to do it on Instagram with influencers. So like a lot more video content rather than just images. It's definitely very different, but I'm enjoying on a positive note for sure.
I reckon videos are hard. I feel like for people who are good at like documenting their life, and I'm engaged with the videos and the content, but I feel like whenever we try and do stuff like that, we almost nearly punch on.
It's one of the few things. There's a reason we do audio podcasts. You know what I mean? It's like
video. But we've got all this gold.
I'm totally the same though. Like I get so engaged in like listening to people document their life, and I would just watch and watch and watch and watch. But then when it comes to me doing it, I'm like cringe. Like, you know, like how can I need to put myself out there, but how can I do it in a way? Because I've noticed when I do it, the engagement is just, you know, triples, because people actually are interested. But when you're actually doing it, you know, I think you just got to do it more and more to get actually like comfortable. But then sometimes I'm like, I feel like my life isn't that exciting to be documenting it every day as well. So for the people that are doing it, like, good on them.
I feel like you have to sort of really love what you're up to, you know, like really dig what you're about and sort of really invest in that sort of side. I feel the same way too. It's like, how do we present this? It's like, there's too much to present, you know?
I find it hard too. Like, I know you've got two little ones. Like, even like, how much do you want to share? You know, like, I do all this stuff. And for us, it's like beneficial for us to get out there and do different things and
share every part of your life, bro. And it's please, like, for me,
I'm not really like a big overshare. I like, for me, doing this pod is really putting myself out there. This is as out there as I can get. Like, I'm not the first, it's like my,
you used to do the quizzes on MySpace where you do all the Q&As. Oh, my favorite.
I think it's a hard thing, especially like MySpace. Like juggling being a mom and running a business and then trying to think about all the other content, everything else that goes alongside, like building brand or building a personal brand or putting yourself out there, like that goes on top of the work stuff. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I've got to do this. There's a million hats I have to wear. Is that hard for you?
And then also, like when you do come home from work, you kind of want to put your phone down and spend time with your kids as well. Like, be present. And like, it's taken me a while to actually realize, like, it breaks my heart when my kids are like, "Mummy, you're always on your phone," or "put your phone down." And I'm just like, oh, that hurts, because you always try to do a million things at once, whether I'm like filming them or replying an email or a message. But now I'm kind of like, as soon as I get in the door, take my Apple Watch off so I'm not disturbed, put my phone down. And I'm just like, you know, some days I get 30 minutes a day with my kids by the time I get home from work. So it's just like bedtime, like I crawl into bed with them and have a cuddle and have a chat, and you know, that's kind of mum life for me.
Well, we do appreciate you jumping on now. I know before we hit
you are both just saying, I wish we were just asleep in bed with our kids, and I'm like, well, I could get on the podcast by myself, you know.
Well, we have got you at night time. You've just done bedtime duty, so we do appreciate you trying to jump on and chat with us tonight. It's it makes a big difference.
Well, I just feel like mental health and pressures and all that sort of thing, especially now with your new startup, Hello Darling, I'm sure like wanting that to all go right, as well as wanting to be present and doing all that sort of stuff, it can be overwhelming sometimes. I feel like having people who work in the industry, in different industries and stuff, who are going through similar stuff and who are open, has really like helped us. I feel like, you know, when you have those people around you to help support you through it, because it is hard building stuff. I feel like, you know, like putting yourself out there by just actually creating something and trying to make something happen, and the constant hustle, the constant need to feel like you need to be on and replying to those calls, because it's like you don't want those wheels to fall off the tracks either. So it's like, how do you balance all that?
Yeah, exactly. And I think coming from Amoran Sivet to moving to Sydney and launching Hello Darling, it was very daunting for me in terms of going, like, I'm not a tech person, but going from like swimwear design into the tech world where I knew nothing was, I suppose you could say, had imposter syndrome, you know, where you feel like you don't know anything and you've got to, you know, just read and learn, and you still feel like you're not getting anywhere. And, you know, Brendan, my co-founder, he's great, and he always, you know, educates me on things in this industry. But at the start, it was very daunting, and you feel like, you know, there's times when I'd come home and just be like, what am I doing? Like, is this the right move? Like, am I doing it right? But as I was explaining the other day to someone, when I decided to start Amoran Sivet, I had no idea how to sew. I still don't know how to sew. Like, I don't know how to sew a bikini. But I moved up to Bali and never went to TAFE, never went to uni, never did design. And I just started kind of sketching, and I would go into the factory and I would have my design and I'd be like, you know, this bikini like this, blah, blah, blah. And they'd be like, well, you can't actually do that because you need an insert here and you need a, you know, a part here to actually drawstring it. You can't just like put something in there. So I had to learn. I don't know how to sew, but I had to learn how to build a bikini, basically. So when it came to starting Hello Darling, I have no idea how to code. I don't know how to build an app. But I know the product that I want to build and for my users. And so it's all about, how do I create that product with our software engineer who does all the coding for us? So it's just like focusing on the product and what the users want, but you don't necessarily have to be able to build something as well. So definitely so much pressure in that area. There's so much pressure as a mum, as you would know, Rob, like with coming home with your kids and working and having that guilt that, you know, are you meant to be spending more time with the kids? Or then when you're with the kids, you feel guilty for not working, and it's exhausting. So that has been a huge challenge for me over the last 12 months, because when I was working for Amoran Sivet, I was working from home, so I was able to leave and pick the kids up from school at 3 o'clock. Now I'm in the office in Surry Hills, and I get home at 6 o'clock at 6 o'clock at night. So, there's where I just see my kids for 30 minutes and just put them to bed because I'm out the door at 7:30 in the morning. So that took a huge toll on me, I think, like mentally. And as I've been kind of like, I take a lot of pride in my self-love practices and making sure that I have a lot of me time, which I think is really important aside from work and aside from the kids. Like, going to the gym every day has been something that I have to do for my own mental state. Gratitude, manifesting, meditation, journaling, and now that I'm more self-aware, like I've been doing a lot of kind of work on myself over the last 12 months during this transition as well. And now I'm more self-aware as to when I'm feeling low and like in a low vibe and how I need to get myself out of that. What are the tools that I have in my toolkit to get myself out of that, which is, spending time in nature, taking my ear pods out and actually listening to nature, going for a swim in the ocean, like going for a walk on the sand barefoot. Like there's so many different things that I've learned now. Not going on social media when I get home from work and having a bath. Like the latest thing that I've decided to do over the last month is no TV during the week now. So what I do instead is I will either we've got a I've just bought a sauna downstairs, so I'll either have a sauna and meditate in the sauna before bed, or I will read a book, or I will journal. So that's just like really helps me. And I've noticed if I don't do that, and I have been doing something else, or I'm distracted, or I've had a busy week, I definitely notice my mood dropping down. I'm like, I need to get back up there. So I'm really like self-aware now as to where I want to be. Like, why am I feeling like that? Like, oh, I haven't done this, or I missed 2 days of exercise. How can I get back there? So mental health has always been like definitely a priority when you're trying to run a business and have kids and have a husband that you want to, keep happy as well. But it's like, I say that I should put myself first in terms of like my mental state, because then everything, if it's not, then everything else falls behind it. The kids, the husband, your relationship, your work, you need to be able to function.
What about on the weekends? Like, what are you watching? Surely it's like 8 hour marathons. You got the TV out, and it's like, we're not doing anything this weekend because I've missed maps. I'm catching up.
On a Friday night, I'll have a maths marathon.
Oh, see, that's treating yourself. I feel like no one can wait anymore with like TV shows. Whenever it's like drips every 1 week, I'm like, fuck that. I need to like binge it. Otherwise, I forget what
I want to
happened.
watch a full season.
Yeah, you
I'm a
know?
sucker. I feel like I hear like that's amazing that you've been able to cut out TV during the week. I feel like it's one of those things where at the end of the day for me, I like really as it suggests, like the idiot box of just sitting there and like allowing myself to just absorb into something, knowing that it's not, I'm not being productive. I'm not getting anything out of it that's good, but at least I can just shut the fuck up for a little bit and not think, or hopefully be sucked into doing something else. But I'm with you on being out in nature and that too. I feel like that's one of the reasons why Locke and I like living down where we do,
And his
because
nickname's the Nature Boy,
you
so
talk so shit. But honestly, it's one of those
yeah.
things. Like I feel like if you don't have that routine or you don't have that, you understand what it is that well, the question we ask away, I guess, which you sort of already answered. But it's like what you turn to get some energy back, as we've been saying before. It's a hard going making stuff happen, and you can get to that sort of end point where you might have gone tipped over the edge or got to the point of burnout or that, like, I'm sure that you've had a bunch of people, either yourself or in your world, that have pushed it too far as an entrepreneur.
I had before Christmas, I had adrenal exhaustion, so I couldn't get out of bed for 5 days, and I was just constantly sick. And I got all these bloods done, and it had really low cortisol levels and adrenal exhaustion. So I've been on. I had to stop doing cardio because I was putting like I didn't realize that when you're actually doing cardio. It was like, I want to do cardio because it's good for my mental state, but you're also putting your body in a state of stress. So I had to cut down cardio and do more things in nature, which was hard for like a month of just completely no cardio. I got on some really good supplements. I was not eating enough food, so I was like not having enough energy. And then I was just constant constant in a state of fight or flight, just from I think it was a build up of finishing a career of 14 years, going into a new career, moving into state with my family, putting my kids in new school. Like, it just kind of all caught up in me because it was just go, 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 go. And I was just having no downtime. So I really learned the hard way. And it kind of got to a point where we were just about to launch the app. And I was like, I can't be in this state. Like, we're about to launch, and this is where the hard work starts. And I've already burnt myself out. So it was like a real eye-opener as to, like, you can't be doing this. And that's when it kind of, like, you write, your toolkit as to what you need to be able to get back up there. Like, everyone's different as to what they need in their toolkit, whether it's some people don't want to meditate, some people don't want to manifest and journal and, go for a surf or be with friends and play golf. There's so many different things that, people have in their toolkit, but I think it's important to, like, write one and know when you are in a low state to go back there and do the things, because sometimes you just forget, or sometimes you're in such a low state that you don't want to go out with mates and have a beer or have a wine, but you've got to just make yourself. And when you do that, you always come back happier. Like, you're never going to regret catching up with your mates and having a laugh,
It's like having a shower as a kid. You're just like, you never want to get in. And then when you get in, you're like, you're in there for half an hour. You're like,
I still got to remind you sometimes to have a shower. But,
it's every 3 days.
I reckon it's one of those things I didn't realize when I first started running. We started doing our thing and running it full time, was like just the different stress and pressure attached to. I'd always feel that, like, at the end of the day, I had that adrenaline rush of, I feel like, but both come from like
Who'd
sport.
go what? Who'd go home after a hard day's work and watch World War II in
No,
color, though? In
in
bed.
terms of, like, a sports background, I feel like if coming from sports, at least if you go out there and you compete, you get that physical energy and stuff out. But in the business sense, like, if you go on video call to something else, to pumping out some emails, to winning a sales deal or something going through, or something falling through off the back of it, it's like, it's
And then
always like,
going on a podcast, and then, it's just like, what the fuck is
it's
going
the
on?
dopamine hit. And, if you're used to getting that dopamine hit playing sport and you're competitive and then you stop, it's like, well, where to next? Where can I get that next fix?
100%. And I feel like it doesn't, you sort of get the same feeling, but, like, at the end of the day, I always found it hard to switch off because it feels like I haven't got,
There's always
when you
another.
played sport, like, you had that physical stuff, so you're actually physically tired. Whereas this one's like, you might be like mentally, like, I'm
And it
fucked,
fixed you, bro. You got this next week coming up.
There's stuff
You can look,
happening. It's I don't think it's a weird, it's been a weird balance. I think that's still something that we're trying to
Well,
work out.
even like if you're an athlete in terms of like missing out on parties, and it's just like generally like accepted. But when you start like when you've got a business, it's like I feel like there's some pressure to always
People
be
go,
everywhere, and you're like, well, fuck,
I
I've got
got
to do
shit
everything,
to do. Yeah,
it's definitely a game of give and take, and you've got to kind of pick and choose where your priorities are, I guess.
Hey, well, can we let's get into Hello Darling. How did the idea come from? And you mentioned before, like, tech's a new area for you. What's the learning curve been like? What's the fun stuff you've been enjoying doing about it?
My co-founder Brendan, he's a Perth boy, and we'd always caught up. We'd known each other for 10 years. We've always caught up for business and had a coffee and chatted about, business life, and he's always given me advice. And he came back from Sydney and he said, "Let's catch up and have lunch. I want to tell you about my new business concept." So I was like, yeah, sounds good. And I get there and he's like telling me about this dating app and how, he wants a dating app where your mate picks your dates for you and you can't do it yourself. But, and then I was like, running ideas back to him and we're kind of bantering. And then he's like, "So do you want to come in as 50-50 co-founder with me and be my female co-founder?" And I was like, like, what? And he's like, "But you have to, move on from Amor and Sweat and you have to move to Sydney with your whole family and we're going to do this and blah, blah, blah." And so I came over, that was in December. I came over in January just to have a look at Sydney, have a look at the office, chat a bit more about him. And we went to lunch and I said, "Yeah, let's do this. Like, I'm in, like, let's go." So then moved to Sydney 2 months later. It was at concept and we named it Hello Darling. And since then we've made new features. For example, you cannot chat before a date. You you, as soon as there's a match by both, so what we're calling the friend is the godparent, so the godfather or the godmother, and the godfather swipes for your mate. And then as soon as there's two matches, you go straight on a date. So you don't see the person beforehand and you don't chat to them. And the reason why we've come to this concept is because we've just heard that so many people are tired of swiping on and chatting on dating apps, where it's not going anywhere. Like, a lot of people are on there for validation. They're not actually meeting in person. So we just want them to, instead of spending hours and weeks chatting with someone, is just to meet up in person for like an hour and see if you've got a connection. So yeah, that's our Hello Darling concept idea. And we've recently just brought in a CTO, our software engineer, Kai, and he is just building every day. And we're just calling users and people are loving the app. And we're just making changes every day. I think that my strength come in with the two boys is that I've got a lot more empathy than them. Boys kind of just don't really think about the feelings of how people would feel. So I think I've got that. My strength is coming in and going, well, how would that person feel if that and that happened? And they're like, oh yeah, we didn't think of that. Or so the three of us have got our own like strengths in different areas. I'm more focused on the marketing. I'm CMO. And Brendan's more down the business, being CEO, and then Kai's CTO. So the three of us, we get on like a house on fire, and we're just like really enjoying just building something daily, and it changes every day as well. Like, you know, we've noticed that sometimes the godparent isn't swiping as much as we'd hoped because, you know, you're doing it for a friend. So now we've added a new feature where you can send your godparent a nudge to swipe again. You can now add two friends, so you can have two friends on there swiping for you. And yeah, so it's just like, it's great. I love it. It's kind of what I've been, you know, when I wanted to finish a Morin's Fit, I was thinking like, I definitely want new changes and challenges in business. And at the start it was daunting and I was like, did I ask for too much? But now I'm just loving every day.
I love that. I feel like you can capture a lot of the market as well, because not just single people, but like people who might be married and have partners can swipe for their friends, where it's like everyone can join in on the fun. And I feel like it's exciting. Like, you're creating something fun where it's like you said, like the apps, you can know so much about someone before you meet them. And it's like, what do you talk about when you actually like meet up?
What would you talk about? I feel like me and you, like, we always say, like,
I just say, hey, I have a banging podcast. You want to hear about every episode?
We're like,
let's talk about me.
We're like zoo animals, mate. We've been in the cage for ages. We wouldn't know what to do if we get out. We just ask and go back in.
We're very, very good at asking questions, though, because that's what we do, you know? But how about like early traction and stuff like that? What are the users saying?
So we created a wait list before we launched, because we obviously had to have enough people in the app. So we were walking about 20Ks, handing out love notes on car windscreens to get signups. So we had like a QR code on there. I would write a love note, put a lipstick mark, and put it on like all of Bondi. And we were doing, 20Ks a day, just walking for about a couple of months before launch. And we had about 1,500 people on launch, which is great. And then we've just been kind of, we've now done a lot of posters throughout the eastern suburbs. We're looking at doing some bus advertising, which has kind of surprised me in a sense, because I've always been social media marketing with the Morin Savet and not down the traditional path. And I'm actually so surprised with the traditional marketing that's actually working. Compared to what we're used to on social media. We're also obviously doing social media coverage and influencers as well, but focusing on the in-person marketing has really helped. Like, we've just had some surf wax made, some Hello Darling surf wax. So we'll go down to the beach and hand it out to all the surfers with straight on a date, swipe for your mate. And just like getting out there and talking to people, talking to users. It's been interesting because we had a date where a user went on a date and said after the date that they would never have swiped right on them. They obviously didn't see the profile beforehand, but they said they would never have swiped right on them, but their godparent did. And they went to the date and they were there for 4 hours, got on like a house on fire, and now they've been on four dates. So that's like amazing. It's what we want to hear, because there's no preferences as to like what's your height and what's your all like, it becomes a shopping list and it becomes an interview basically when you're scrolling and you're ticking all your boxes. And it's like, no, just get rid of that, because if you were to meet someone at a bar that you had a connection with and vibed with, you wouldn't just like, pull out your tape measure and see how high he is. Like, are you over 6 foot? It's just getting ridiculous. So it's just like, get rid of all that shopping list and just see if you have a connection, see if you have chat. Like, it doesn't, just get off the apps, basically. We just want you off chatting off the apps and actually meeting in person and dating.
You'll have so
So
many like real life case stories. Like imagine when the first kid pops out due to Hello Darling. You can celebrate so many marriages and
yeah,
that'd
that's my
be
Hello Darling wedding.
yeah.
Being invited.
Yeah, 100%.
For sure, you should be invited. It's like it's a weird thing I reckon now. Like we talk about it all the time for people now who have like you said before, dating app fatigue, or they don't know how to meet other people anymore. Like it's a weird thing to do to walk up to someone now out in public and like try and do a like, is this person a creeper? Or like,
Yeah.
fuck off a little bit.
Hello,
Don't
how are you? What?
On Instagram first and see if we have mutual friends or you're normal, or like, it's like, no. Like, just go back to the old ways. And we actually book the date on behalf of the daters. So as soon as there's a match, we get your calendar schedule. We see your postcode and we book a venue between the two of you. So we're kind of bringing the chivalry back as well, because so many people are saying, like, I'm chatting them to them on Hinge or Bumble and I'm just waiting for them to ask me out and they don't. And it's like, what's the guy thinking? Maybe he's waiting for her to ask her out, or like, you just don't know. So it's like, we just get rid of all that bullshit and just let it meet. Just, it's not always going to work out, but maybe it will.
Not many people know this, but I actually auditioned for Dating in the Dark. Remember that show on Fox 8 or whatever it was? When they have you seen that show when you go in and you just get to know them and you're in the dark and
In
they get you?
the
Nah, it's not in the nude, but you're in like
nude.
jelly pools and that. It's crazy. But I rocked up there and it was just like it was the craziest experience. I think I would have been about 21 and everyone was doing saying whatever just to get a gig like on camera. And I was like sitting there going, they're like, tell me your deepest, darkest secrets on camera in front of like 50 people. And it's just like people were just like loving it sick. But I was like, I realized like I can't do this stuff. I actually can't do this. But it's like interesting concept because I just feel like it's fun. Like everything's a bit stale and boring, you know? Like it's just you gotta sometimes make shit happen. It's like rubbing two sticks together. It's like here's an environment where where we've thought about it might be romantic. Where would you go, Rob? To the bowls club?
To the bowls club. I told you, I'm out of the thing. I think Em and
You
I
go
are
to strike bowling, I reckon.
strike bowling. Em and I, we're not really. I feel like I'd have
Hungry
it.
Jack's, you dine in sometimes,
Dine in
eh?
at Hungry Jack's. Yeah, is that romantic? I'm not sure.
Oh, Porto's if you're
Well,
feeling special.
what are you excited about for this year? I can imagine there's plenty of things on the roadmap, plenty of fun times that you're planning out for the rest of the year. What are you excited about?
I'm excited just to like see the user growth increase. Focus on our first dates and a date experience. At the moment, we're like hand delivering like red envelopes to their dates with a icebreaker question on there. So they get to the date and they've got like a little icebreaker question. So we're kind of just wanting to make sure that everyone's having a good time on the date. And then after the date, if it goes back on the app and says, do you want to go on a second date with them? So we've had a couple of sec people go yes. If two people go yes, then we book the second date again. So it's kind of, I'm enjoying the process of, and it feels rewarding to see people having a successful date and being happy. And I can't wait to see, where the app goes, whether that's 12 months, 6 months down the line, like what we're going to get into then, because it's not just a traditional dating app. Like, there's so much we can go, where we can go with this as well. So at the moment, I'm just like focusing on the user growth, focusing on a great experience with dating, and putting the brand out there as well. So who knows, we might be in Melbourne soon, and you boys can start swiping for your friends, because I've actually never been on a dating app before. Like, so I am loving being on there and swiping, because I feel like I missed out. And like you said, you can be on there if you're in a relationship, to swipe for your friend. So I'm having a great time.
You should rock up on the dates, I reckon, and be like that undercover waiter and just keep asking them questions like, hey, have you enjoyed the experience? What about the app? It was really easy, wasn't it? I feel like you guys are getting along.
Undercover boss.
Like Gordon Ramsay, just roll in and just be like, is everything okay?
I would love that. I joked to my co-founder, like, as soon as we got our first date, I was like, I'm rocking up there tonight. Like, I am just spying and watching how this goes. He's like, don't you dare. But I would love it secretly.
It's so exciting. Yeah,
Well, hey, thank you so much for jumping on and chatting with us. How can people find out more about what you're doing if they're interested? How do they find everything?
So our social media is My Hello Darling. And then the app on the App Store is Hello Darling.
and
So
it'll be in the descriptions and stuff. Like, I do that
yeah. Oh,
stuff.
you do that?
Look, I do that stuff. It's all
Yeah,
good. Make
good.
it easy for the people, Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
I'll tell you right now, when we had these chats, especially we chatted with Bridget after we hit stop on the recording, and
Yeah, that's what happens.
we continue talking sometimes.
No, we just turned it off.
We just say, see ya.
Do
No,
people
but
think we do that?
I'm saying something serious, bro. It's like we every episode now, for over 300 episodes, we always talk about a mental health aspect of running business and what do you do to get energy back. And I just really appreciate how open and honest she was with what it takes to make shit happen. Like being a mum of two, transitioning from her old business to what she's doing now and where she got to before they've gone to launch. It's just a lot to take in, and appreciate that she's given people some things that she's doing in her toolkit.
Yeah, so I reckon honestly, like so many notes, so much good advice. If you didn't take the day off and just absorb this podcast, what are you even doing?
Take the day off,
But honestly, how good are we? We ask good questions. She was a banging guest. And if you like the podcast, you like listening to us, leave us a review, please, because the podcast world is a saturated market and I feel like we do a really good job. So if you appreciate
We've been
our
here for
work.
4 years, 300 plus episodes. How much more do you want?
Yeah, maybe we just love ourselves too much.
Anyway, see you next time.